I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it.
With 2020 happening, life kind of blew up around us, and we each have an opportunity to create the life that we want. And it takes hard work, and sometimes it takes breaks and a touch from the universe. When I first moved, there was like this whole like jump and the net will catch you. And I'm like, that's so wrong. It's more like jump and the net may or may not catch you, but you have to learn how to get up and walk.
You're listening to Make Some Noise Podcast, episode number 418, with guest Kara Bolton. Welcome to Make Some Noise Podcast, your guide for strategies, tools, and insight to empower yourself. I'm your host, Andrea Owen, global speaker, entrepreneur, life coach since 2007, and author of 3 books that have been translated into 18 languages and are available in 22 countries. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a lesson that will help you maximize unshakable confidence, master resilience, and make some noise in your life. You ready? Let's go. Hello, everyone. I am so excited to have you here. I feel like I haven't talked to you in so long because I was gone for almost 2 weeks at home. I missed my dog so much. Oh my gosh, I went straight from a speaking event in Florida, flew to San Diego for, unfortunately, a funeral, spent some time with my family there, and then drove in a rental car to Las Vegas to spend it with my mom and my stepfather. And we were just gone for a long time, and it feels good to be back at work. Today is my first day back in my office chair talking to you all, and I'm excited that you're here. One thing I'm really, really pumped about is next year. Next year, 2022, I am going to switch things up a little bit on the podcast, and I think it might be better. I'm hoping. I tend to have a lot of ideas and just run with it. Sometimes halfway through, I'm like, this was a terrible idea. I've been that way my whole life. All right. However, for the podcast, I am going to do the themes of each episode in themes. So for instance, when we kick it off in January 2022, it's going to be a therapy theme. And the question I'm going to ask each of our experts and guests is, how do we heal ourselves? I know it's a gigantic, enormous question, but I'm going to have people on who are going to talk specifically about trauma and how to heal ourselves from that. I mean, I have a list of guests that I haven't even invited yet, so I hope they say yes, because I'm telling you about it. Talking about the mother wound, I want to have a guest on to talk about emotional regulation and boundary setting. So many really cool things that I've probably interviewed people on the show about that, but I want it to be specific so that you can listen. You know, I know a lot of you like go back and binge and you can listen to all of them and they're all on one topic instead of having this sort of mishmash. You never know what you're going to get when you come and listen to the show. Then the following theme probably around March is going to be all about relationships. Doesn't matter if you are partnered up or not. And we're certainly not just going to talk about heterosexual relationships. I want to talk about all of our relationships, friendships, etc. We are going to have a theme on spirituality and creativity and how that helps us, self-care, specifically women's health. We're going to have a theme on feminism. Anyway, I'm really pumped about it. I hope that it goes well. I can't see why it wouldn't, but I'm really excited for that. So stay tuned. Side note, This might be a little bit of a long intro. Sorry, not sorry. I will maybe talk about this at length later, but I just got to throw this out there. Like, can you relate? Have you ever gotten off an anti-anxiety or antidepressant in your life? I have done it once and it was misery. This was back in, I believe, I can't even remember. It was sometime like in the mid 2000s, somewhere around there. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. And I don't say this to discourage people from getting on them. They are life-changing. They are absolutely the answer to many people who have mental health challenges like myself. So I am getting off of one right now and it's been about a week and I tapered off of it. Please, please, please see a doctor before you do this. Don't quit cold turkey. I've tried that before and it was a complete disaster. But anyway, you have to taper off. And I've totally done, it's been about a week and I thought that it would subside by now and it's not. And it's, they call them brain zaps. My girlfriend and I, way back in the day, used to call them isms. We didn't have a name for it. But it's the weirdest feeling, and I'm still having them, and I really wish that I wasn't. I really wish that it would go away. Anyway, I just wanted to put that out there because I like to overshare. All right, what do we have next? I am so excited because it is going to be limited quantity. Who needs a Christmas gift for that person in your life who is into personal development and you don't know what to get her or them or him? I am offering only 10 of these. It is a bag, a tote bag, reusable grocery bag, shopping bag, if you will. And it has the Make Some Noise logo on it. It's so cute. There's a picture of it on my Instagram. And all three of my books, 52 Ways to Live a Kick-Ass Life, How to Stop Feeling Like Shit, and Make Some Noise, all signed, personalized to whomever you want me to personalize it to, plus a little special gift note in there. And unfortunately, because shipping is so astronomical to other parts of the country, and I only have 10, we are going to have these available only to US addresses only. AndreaOwen.com/holiday. It's a great holiday gift, if I do say so myself. And I will do my best. I will do everything in my power to get it to you before the Christmas holiday. So AndreaOwen.com/holiday. And then the last announcement I have is that if you missed getting your personalized nameplate, it's a sticker that goes inside of your book. It says Make Some Noise on it. But you don't have to put it in your Make Some Noise book. You can use it as a bookmark. You can put it on your refrigerator. You can put it on your bathroom mirror if you like to put stickers on your mirror, which I know a lot of people don't, but you know, there might be some of you out there who do. I will personalize and sign it to you. I know some of you missed it. Some of them came back to me, by the way. If you didn't get yours and you're like, hello, I put in my form. Some of them came back to me and then we emailed people and we didn't hear from you because of spam and stuff like that. So just, I'm sorry, fill out the form again, AndreaOwen.com/MSN. And those of you that missed it, head over there. Get your free sticker. I will snail mail it to you no matter where you are in the world. And it's free. It's totally free. You only have to put in your receipt number on that form if you bought 5 or more copies, because there's special bonuses for that. So if you're just getting the nameplate, all we need on the form is your name, your email, where you purchased the book, because we're just curious, and we're just nosy like that, and your mailing address. That's all. That is all. AndreaOwen.com/MSN stands for Make Some Noise. All right, everybody. Thank you for your patience with this longer than usual intro. I had a lot of words to get out. And I'm going to tell you about our very fascinating guest today. Kara has such an intriguing story about the project that she has taken on. So let me read you her bio so you can hear a little bit about it. And we talk about it in the interview. All right. For those of you that don't know her, Kara Bolton is a writer, filmmaker, and CEO of Woodbine Films. She specializes in first-person personal narratives that excavate joy from trauma. Currently, she is directing her first feature documentary, Return of the Black Madonna, and writing a book, Water in My Bones, about her epic quest to learn to swim, dive, and map sunken slave ships with Black Marine archaeologists. The film is now in production. A former CNN.com contributor, Kara examined the intersection of race, gender, politics, and pop culture. Kara's articles have been named among the year's top culture stories featured on CNN's international channels and translated into Portuguese. Kara is based in a beautiful beach community in the Mexican Caribbean, where she loves to eat and sing at Mexican karaoke. So without further ado, here is Kara. Kara, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I am so excited to have you. I am acquainted with you via Charlie Gilkey, who always sends me the most amazing people. And I finally clicked on your website and was reading about the projects that you have. And I was like, okay, I have so many questions. And this was like 2 weeks ago. I'm just excited to dive in and hear more about this. And so I want to start with you. I want you to tell us about the projects that you do. And I'm also interested in, so you had a fear of, was it open water or swimming in general?
Both swimming. And fear of open water. Yes.
Okay. And so you dove into, no pun intended, honestly, dove into this project that entailed that. So I'm going to let you talk about it. What did you do surrounding that fear?
Okay. Well, there are a couple things that I'm doing around it. I'm learning how to swim, dive, and map for sunken slave ships.
Okay. And by dive, you mean like scuba diving?
Scuba diving. And okay. I am documenting these journeys in a book called Water in My Bones and a feature film documentary called Return of the Black Madonna.
Okay. So how did it take us? I would love to for you to take us like a little bit of a play-by-play. Like the first, did you learn how to swim in a pool first or did you just go right into the water? Like what was that like?
I'm still learning how to swim actually.
Okay.
Because of COVID, I'm now on my third swim instructor. And so I started in a pool and then like COVID hit and we were all in quarantine. And so I was basically sticking my head in a pot of water to learn how to breathe.
Oh
and
my
then
gosh.
My current, so that was part of it. And then my current swim instructor, who is like the best, she started me out in a pool and we tried different kinds of pools. And then she's like, well, let's go to the ocean. And I'm like, that sounds really scary. And so she and her husband have a boat and they took me out to this gorgeous lagoon and I could touch my feet on the ground. And so I learned how to be in the ocean for the first time in December. And so then we went out to the lagoon a couple times to different lagoons. So she's trying to get me to swim in different kinds of environments.
Okay. So like, how's it going? Is it going pretty well with the being in the water and learning how to swim?
It's scary. Like I go through the same thing. And because my swim lessons aren't consistent because of the weather and just, you know, life happening, but usually it's kind of like I reorient myself to the water. She sets a goal for me. Like back floating is the scariest thing for me. It's just like, there's nothing holding me up. Right.
Yeah. And your ears are under the water and you can't hear very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she sets a goal and I'm like, I'm afraid. And she says, yes, you're afraid. And so we sort of acknowledge what the fear is. And then I try it, whatever the thing is. And then I do it and I do it a couple of times and then we go on to the next thing. So it's a very peaceful process. And the fact that the fear is acknowledged, I find my courage and I continue to move. And Lydia is a fantastic swim instructor because she really knows my strengths and weaknesses. And so, for example, my arms aren't being as active as they could be. My legs are like these powerhouses. Mm-hmm. But my arms are kind of like, we're just hanging out. And my legs are like, we are not drowning, not on my watch. So,
what's it called? The egg beater in water polo?
So she says, like, use the strength of your arms. Don't think about your fear. Use your strength in your arms. And so when I'm in the water, I think about that strength and I come up. And so there's like, I still have a lot to go because like I kind of swim for a little bit and then I forget that I need to breathe and I haven't like mastered like lifting my head from the water and then going back down yet. So there is a lot. And then I've got snorkeling, and then I have like 30 dives. Like, it's a whole process.
It's a whole process. Well, I share that fear with you. And I also decided to fear of open water. And I also have something super strange called submechanophobia, where it's fear of partially submerged man-made objects. So I especially am afraid of pool drains, any kind of like water treatment centers. Wow. Even just talking about it makes the hair stand up and on the back of my neck. Anyway, I decided to sign up for a sprint triathlon to face my fear of open water swimming. And it is scary. And especially I have found with swimming is that if you panic, it's not the best place to be when you panic. And I imagine scuba diving, you have to really be not okay just with the water, but also with the apparatus and the breathing. And I guess I'm trying to say, like, you have to be very well with your self-management coping mechanisms.
Yes. And so one of the things that Lydia says is respect the water, but trust yourself. So all the skills that she's teaching me to swim is just in case something goes wrong, I'll know what to do.
Okay. I've taken several classes with Masterclass on things like communication, entrepreneurship, and storytelling, and absolutely loved everyone because of their caliber of instructors and how concise the classes are. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to every instructor. You can make new habits with New York Times bestselling author James Clear, improve your physical and mental well-being with leading gut health experts, or build stronger relationships with renowned psychotherapist Esther Perel. She is so amazing. I had gotten curious about how to be a better communicator, so I took the Art of Negotiation class with Chris Voss, and it helped me to do things like read body language, read speech patterns, and so much more, so I can better communicate with who you ask? My teenagers. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/Andrea. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/Andrea. masterclass.com/Andrea. Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love, that's personal and that they won't already have, can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then a Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise.
And then my dive instructor will be Natalie, who's a fantastic instructor. She was my swim instructor, but she had to leave to take care of her parents during COVID. She's also sort of teaching me that, like, how to be comfortable. And if something goes wrong, what can I do? And to really kind of give me that comfort level that I can solve my own problems.
Excellent. Okay. I love that. Trust the water. Or no, what is it? Trust the water.
It's respect the water. Trust yourself.
Trust yourself. Oh, I love that. Okay. So tell us about diving for sunken slave ships. So is this something that you'd wanted to do for a long time? How did you come about having that be a passion of yours?
Well, this sounds kind of crazy, but I have been sort of haunted by images of my ancestor since I was a little girl. And it got...
That doesn't sound crazy at all to me. Like, not at all. Probably the majority of the people that listen to this show.
And I don't mean like it was like poltergeist. It's like these kind of visitations, so to speak. And I never said anything because I don't want to sound like a crazy person. But in 2016, they intensified. I was filming my first documentary web series called Detroit Rising. And I was in a museum that had a replica of a slave ship. And it had like the noises, like the sounds, the mannequins that were like packed in. And I fell to my knees and I started crying.
Oh my gosh.
And I was sobbing in this public place. And I was so embarrassed because I'm like, what if people come by and they see me just crying? So I picked myself up off the floor and I went on with it. But it was just like synchronicity events. Like someone sent me a documentary link of there's a National Geographic short documentary about women who are diving for sunken slave ships. And I was like, I want to do that. And so in these strange experiences all lined up, and I decided, like, I thought I was filming one documentary and I'm like, yeah, so remember that idea? You know, we're not doing that. I'm going to learn how to swim, dive, and map sunken slave ships. That's what this film is going to be.
I watched your short trailer about the project, and I found it so, I had a moment where I got teary-eyed when you were talking about how, you know, so many people know who their ancestors are, or at least, you know, their lineage, especially with the popularity of DNA testing and things like that, but, and that you don't know yours. And that was another reason you were drawn to this.
Yes. And so I'm actually, between that time and now, I have done some genealogical research. And I found, for example, that on both my mother and father's side, that I had like great, great, great grandfathers who were among the first African Americans to register to vote after the Civil War. They voted in 1867. They registered to vote in 1867. And that is huge to know that my lineage includes among the first Black men to vote in the United States from Georgia. That's like amazing. Yeah. And I just took the matrilineal DNA testing.
How did that go for you?
Well, I mean, I'll find out between May and June about what my results are. And then I'm going to do another test that like further narrows it down to like the communities where I might possibly be from.
Oh my gosh. I would love an update. Does it take that long to have that done?
It takes 8 to 12 weeks.
Okay.
And my guess is that my family's from Senegambia because of their port of entry. So most of my ancestors are from the Carolinas and Georgia. And the captive Africans brought to those ports were from Senegambia because those were the Africans in that part of the western coastal region of the continent were good at growing rice and beans and things that became staples part of the Southern diet in the United States. So I'm guessing that's where my family is from, but we'll find out.
That's, oh my gosh, how emotional. Like I imagine it is, even just the waiting. I can't remember where I was or what I was doing. I had my, you know, my DNA tested and I wasn't that surprised of what it said. That's when I got interested in the mDNA. And for people that don't know what that is, it's tracing back your mother's 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 mother all the way back to quote unquote Eve, to the, you know, the first one. And I thought to myself when I posted actually about it on Facebook, and there was so many different people had done that. I was really surprised. And there was one of my Facebook friends had called. She was like, she's like a biologist, so she has some background in understanding it. But she said that when she got the results, it was like this map, and you can Google it and you'll see examples. It's this map that shows the migration of all of your mothers across all of the lands. And she called them to find out how to read it because it was super confusing, and it was so fascinating. And it made me think, these women, what they have gone through, especially Black women who are descendants of slaves, Indigenous women, so many, just even just give like bearing children where the, when there wasn't running water and electricity, and you know, and so much joy and love and all of those fantastic things too. But the trauma and the hardships that they must have dealt with like blows my mind, and it makes me emotional if I think about it too long. So I'm imagine it's the same for you.
Yeah, I mean, because if you think about it, when my ancestors arrived to the United States, they were property. So they were automatically sold. And so their children didn't belong to them. So in the transatlantic slave trade, most of the captive Africans went to the Caribbean and Brazil. But in the United States, there was a lot of forced breeding. And that's why we have such a large population in the United States compared to other places. So my foremothers' lives were not their own. Their children were not their own. They could be sold at any time. Their bodies were bred. They were often tortured. So that's kind of the reality of the trauma. And yes, there's joy and creativity and humor and food and all of the good things. But, you know, that trauma is very much a part of it.
Is that part of the quest for diving for sunken slave ships is sort of to for your own healing or is it more than that?
It's yes and, because in my research, I found that there's a slice of epigenetics that that deals with Black communities, and that there have been adaptive behaviors as a result of the slave trade and what is called American chattel slavery, by Dr. Joy DeGruy, who is the person who wrote the post-slave distress syndrome, but it's called PTSD, basically. And so I believe that our fear of swimming in open water, which is many African-Americans, many Black people have that fear, we share that. I think it's an adaptive behavior. So in learning how to swim and then diving, I'm essentially trying to change my neuropathways and my heritable DNA so that I can literally write a new story for my family. Even though I don't have children and I'm the last of my line, I'm still doing this for a legacy.
I love that so much. I mean, obviously I don't love the origin story, but just, and anyone who's unfamiliar with epigenetics, please Google it and read some of the research. That's, it's so fascinating and important to know about. I'm curious, what do you plan on doing? I mean, I know you're going to make the documentary and write the book. Mm-hmm. And do you have plans after that? Like, is it a speaking tour? Do you want to go into schools and talk about this? What are the plans?
I would love to do all of the above, you know, to really talk about, there are two impact campaigns that I will have as part of the film. One is to promote strong, safe swimming in Black communities. And there's a group that's called the Black Swim Moms. And they're often the moms who take their kids in for swimming, but they don't go swimming themselves because they may be afraid of the swimming in the open water. So if they see me in my like 47, 48 year old body in the water, then maybe they'll feel encouraged that you're never too old to swim. And then the other part that I want to do is trauma-informed care for Black women and girls, because there is a tragedy that happened to me when I was 17 years old that kind of, that I talk about in the film. I don't talk about it in the book. And so it's a form of trauma that I'm trying to work through through learning how to swim and dive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And I'm just out of curiosity, are there slave, I'm assuming that there's slave ships that certain, are they called, what are they called? The people who like map underwater.
Yes. Yeah, so the marine archaeologists. So the group is called Divers with a Purpose, and they're predominantly African American, although it's a mixed race group of marine archaeologists who are dedicated to heritage and conservation. So just like making sure that those slave ships, like they're documenting what's going on with them. I haven't gotten anywhere near the training yet because I'm like, I just need to qualify, you know. So I'm like doing one step at a time. Otherwise, I just get freaked out.
Yeah. When you die for and you go see these, like you leave them alone. It's just about, like you said, preservation, or do they take anything out in terms of like wanting to study them or anything like that? They just leave them alone?
They just leave it alone. They have a course every year that you have to apply for. And the course you go down, and I think you just kind of document what's going on, and they have the different factors that you're supposed to look out for. So like during the mornings, they teach you what you're to look out for. And then the afternoons you do the dives.
Okay. So you wrote an article for CNN, and then kind of the universe intervened. And will you tell us about that in the docuseries?
Oh yeah, my world went crazy. So basically, I was a political communications consultant in Raleigh, and decided that that was no longer the life for me, and came to Mexico. And I moved here about 10 days after my mother died. So I was kind of like a nervous wreck. But I had all my communications consultant, my clients, everyone's like, yes, you know, well, within the year, all of them basically fired me. And they're like, no, we want someone local. And it's like, you could have told me that like before I left so that I could find new business. So I lost all my clients within a year. I was on Facebook of all places, and I responded to a friend's article about Eminem criticizing Donald Trump. And I made this little comment, and it, lo and behold, my friend was also the breaking news editor for CNN's webpage. Mm-hmm. And within an hour of saying something snarky about that, I had a contract to write for CNN. And so,
oh my God, God is a woman. And she,
it's so funny.
Like you.
Yeah.
And your so, lucky day.
I wrote an article called How Black Women Saved Democracy and Alabama. And so a man named Ted Wachtel, who is a restorative practices pioneer in Pennsylvania, he founded a graduate school. It's called the International, oh gosh, I just forgot it that fast, but it's IIRP, the International Institute for Restorative Practices. And it's the world's first accredited graduate school that is dedicated solely to restorative practices. And I can explain that in a second. And so he's like, you know, he called me up and he's got this thick New Jersey, Pennsylvania accent. He's like, Kara, like, I, you know, can you write for me? And so I started working with him. And so restorative practices is sort of it's called the science of relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's really about, you can use it proactively in terms of like, instead of having boring staff meetings, like doing check-ins, you can have check-ins at home with your family. It's like a range of, I would call it like questions and protocols that can be either be proactive or responsive to when harm has occurred. Mm-hmm. And you use them to restore relationships, repair harm, build social capital among people. And so it's basically like, how do we relate to each other, especially when things go wrong? How do we resolve conflicts between each other and ourselves? So he sent me to Detroit to research how restorative practices are practiced in the city of Detroit, which is going, it's on track to become the United States' first restorative city. And which means that they are committed to using restorative practices in nearly every sector of the city. So schools, courts, the police department, especially in community policing. And it works with the premises that people are willing to accept authority and make positive changes when those in authority work with people rather than doing things to or for them. And so in a community policing sense, it's more of, we're all in this together to create a safe neighborhood, not us versus them. Mm-hmm. From a parenting standpoint, it's, we're here to create a solid family. And how do we do that as a family, not parent versus child or husband versus or spouse versus spouse? Mm-hmm. So that's how it works. And so Ted then came up with the idea to film some of what I discovered, and that became a 5-part docuseries called Detroit Rising. And we really went in, we went to Hope Academy, which is a charter school in Detroit, and we filmed student teacher interactions, we filmed administrators, we went to the court systems, So we really got a chance to show people what restorative practices looks like in everyday life.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/noise, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/noise to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/noise. There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. And where can people watch that docuseries?
It's on Vimeo. It's available for rent. I'll give you the links for that.
Thank you. And it sounds, so was part of the documentation so other cities can see it and hopefully, And Detroit, I mean, they are, and please forgive me if I'm not understanding, but Detroit really sort of fell apart, for lack of a better term. Wasn't it in the 80s when...
It was
70s and 80s when they were a thriving city, and then everything, they were the car capital of the United States.
Yeah.
And one of the wealthiest cities, from what I understand.
Yes. Yes. And people, there was mass migration out of the city, and there were a lot of boarded homes, crime and poverty, and they had redlining that they suffered from. So it was like this whole volatile mix of forces. It's easy to go into Detroit and do the pain porn, which is to point out all of the bad things that were happening. Right. And I was really intentional about telling a positive story, because these are people who are in the trenches day in and day out, and they're doing wonderful things and positive things, and you hardly ever hear about them. And I really wanted to shine a light on them.
Restorative practice sounds similar to when Brené Brown talks about power within versus power over, sort of leveling the playing field when it comes to power and sharing it versus wielding it over others in like a dictatorship type of way. So that's amazing. So interesting that the universe was just like, Kara, look over here.
I literally was on the beach wondering what I was going to do with my life. I had no money. I started this online course for activists. No one signed up. And I'm just like, I don't know how I'm going to make money. And I'm crying. And I get a call from Ted on the cell phone, who's like, "You want to work with me?"
Isn't that amazing? Oh my gosh. Okay. So the documentary, if I'm not mistaken, is called Return of the Black Madonna. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you tell us about that title?
Well, the title really is about transforming pain into purpose because of the trauma, and it's symbolized by the Black Madonna, who for different people symbolizes different things, but mostly hope and regeneration. And so when I say return of Black Madonna, for me, it's return of hope and rewriting the story, both genetically and within my spirit.
That's so beautiful. I absolutely love that. And so tell us more about this documentary.
I consider it both an offering and a service, and it's a full-length feature documentary, we hope. And it follows me as I learn to swim and dive in that sunken slave ships. We are in early production because of COVID, and we've had some changes, but I have a new director of photography that I'm super excited about because he's also skilled in underwater photography. We are shooting in June. It'll be our first underwater shoot. And we're going to do some oceans. We're going to do a couple of pools. We're going to do a cenote. And to get those gorgeous underwater shots that everybody expects from a film like this. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really, really excited about it. I couldn't be happier to have this as part of my purpose.
I saw that you were, because documentaries are very expensive to make.
Yes, they are. And they're not very glamorous because it's a lot of paperwork. Like, I wish I
Is
did.
It?
Yes, it's like I'm doing paperwork, applying for grants, and, you know, filming is such a small part of what I actually do.
And from what I've been told, grant writing is no joke. Like, it is its own craft, all on its own. And we'll definitely put the link in there. I'm happy to donate to the documentary. I think it's such an important project. And so how is your book, which is it called Water in My Bones?
Water in My Bones.
And how is that different from the documentary?
Well, in the book, I go more into the epigenetics piece, and I talk about the history of the relationship between captive Africans all the way to African Americans in the United States and our history to water and why. Because a lot of people will say, well, I don't know why Black people don't swim. They don't want to get their hair wet. But it's so much deeper than that. And there's so many more layers to that. So I talk about those layers, and I talk about the history and then the epigenetics. And then within my own family and the trauma, not around swimming in open water, but the bodily trauma that we've experienced. And so it's more of, I guess I would call it both a memoir and a personal issue book. But there's lots of good stuff in there about history and science and all of these places of intersection.
I am excited for it to come out and the documentary as well. Was there, before we close, was there anything that you want to circle back to, even if it's a new topic, that you want to make sure that you say to feel complete?
I think that, you know, a kick-ass life is available to anyone. You have to make the sacrifices in order for it to happen. When I first came to Mexico, there was a line like, you don't want to blow up your life. And, you know, with 2020 happening, life kind of blew up around us.
Right.
And we each have an opportunity to create the life that we want. And it takes hard work. And sometimes it takes breaks and a touch from the universe. But, you know, when I first moved, there was like this whole like jump and the net will catch you. And I'm like, that's so wrong. It's more like jump. And the net may or may not catch you, but you have to learn how to get up and walk. So
that is very true. Sometimes the net does not appear.
No, I have begged for this net, but then, you know, something happened. I didn't have to fall forever. So I learned that I fell on my face and I continue to fall on my face, but I get up and I walk.
Yes. I love that. I have found that resilience is the key, not expecting a net.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And so, I mean, I know it's not, you know, we didn't talk about it, but yeah, I think that we have to be resilient and call on our community for help and rest when we need to.
100%. Yes, absolutely. Positively. Thank you so much for being here. Where do you want people to go exactly to learn more about you or the documentary or the book? I know you're at carabolton.com. We'll put that in the show notes for sure.
Film Collaborative is my fiscal sponsor. And so you can go donate to the film through tax deductible donations. And I will give you guys the link for that too.
Perfect. That will be in the show notes. And everyone, thank you so much for your time. You know how appreciative I am of that and that you choose to spend your time with me and my guests. And remember, it's our life's journey to make ourselves better humans and our life's responsibility to make the world a better place. Bye, everyone. Hi there. Swinging back by to say one more thing. You know how I'm always giving advice over here on the show and on social media, and a couple of those things is that I'm always telling you to ask for what you want, be clear about it, and also ask for help. So I am taking a dose of my own medicine, and I'm going to do that right now. It would be the absolute best and mean the world to me if you reviewed and subscribed to this show, Make Some Noise Podcast, on whatever podcast platform of your choice. And even more importantly, it would matter so much if you shared this show. Sharing the show is one of the few ways the podcast can grow, and that also gives more women an opportunity to make some noise in their lives. You can do that by taking a screenshot when you're listening on your phone and sharing it in your Instagram or Facebook stories. If you're on Instagram, you can tag me at Hey Andrea Owen, and I try my best to always reshare those and give you a quick thank you DM. And also, you can tell your friends and family about it. Tell them what you learned. Tell them a really awesome guest that you found on the show that you started following. Whatever it is, I appreciate so much you sharing about this show.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.